It is good to have you back at the Warren County Radio Bible School. In our last class, we began a series of lessons about the early kings and prophets of Israel. And we read that lesson text from 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 11. You may want to get your Bible so you can follow along as we continue with this lesson. This one is about the time when Saul is chosen king. And we'll begin that lesson in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our lesson text. We begin in 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18, where it says, Samuel called the people together unto Jehovah to Mizpah. And he said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you out of the land of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms that oppress you. E.A. Elam had this to say about those verses. Having anointed Saul according to God's direction, it was now Samuel's duty to make known to the people God's choice of a king. And Samuel called the people together unto Jehovah at Mizpah. All the tribes and the families and the tribes were represented. Doubtless all the congregation of Israel, the males, from 20 years old and upward, Numbers 1 in verse 3, were present. At Mizpah, in obedience to God's command, Samuel again solemnly set before the people the sin they were committing. Thus saith Jehovah, that the Lord says a thing makes it most serious. The Lord reminded them that by many miracles he brought them up out of Egypt, and that by these miracles he had persuaded them to leave and had forced the Egyptians to let them leave, and that he had done for them that which had not been done for any other nation, that he had fought their battles all the way through, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of all the kingdoms that oppressed them. What more could they have asked for? This is like the all-sufficiency of the Bible to guide us and the all-sufficiency of the church now. What more can we desire or have? God has done for them all that they expected an earthly king to do, and yet they were set on changing God's order. But ye have this day rejected your God. Besides that which God had done, as stated in verse 18, he had also saved them out of all their calamities and their distresses. Yet they rejected him and said, Nay, but set a king over us. God intended that they should understand clearly and fully that they were rejecting him and rejecting his system of government and order of things. In calling attention again to this sin, another opportunity was presented to them to repent and return to God. Yet, since they had deliberately set their hearts on this course, knowing that it was a rejection of God, Samuel told them to present themselves before Jehovah by tribes and by thousands. To present themselves before Jehovah was to come together profitably before the altar, probably before the altar of God, in order to select the king by lot. Moses had divided the tribes into thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, Exodus 18:25. We ought to be able to see from this that to turn from God's commandments and church, sealed by the blood of Jesus, to human ways and organizations is to reject him. Well, Saul was selected. Let me read from that text, verses 20 through 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by their families, and the family of Merarites was taken. And Saul the son of Kish was taken. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they asked of Jehovah further, "Is there yet a man to come hither?" And Jehovah answered, "Behold, he hath hid himself among the baggage." And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people, from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom Jehovah hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Back to verse 20. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near. Each tribe, one by one, came before Samuel, and as it came, it was made known to Samuel that this was the one from which the king must come. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of Jehovah, we read in Proverbs 16 in verse 33. When the tribe of Benjamin came near, God let Samuel know this was the one. From verse 18, which mentions the thousands, it is probable that the different thousands of the tribe of Benjamin came near until the right thousand was taken. Then the families of that thousand until the family of Matrites was taken. Then the men of that family until Saul was taken. In this way, Achan was shown to be the transgressor in Joshua 7:16 through 21. The tribe of Benjamin was the smallest of the tribes of Israel, having been almost destroyed because of the sins of the Benjamite against the Levite and his concubine in Judges chapters 19 through 21. Saul said his family too was the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 21. Why should Samuel go through this process of choosing a king when the Lord had already made a choice? Well, to let the people see that it was the Lord's choice, and therefore to satisfy them. When the lot fell to Saul, and when they sought him, he could not be found. He knew what had already passed between him and Samuel, and that he would be chosen. And being humble and modest, he had disappeared. When Saul could not be found, therefore, they asked of Jehovah further, "Is there yet a man to come hither?" Jehovah answered, telling where Saul was, "He hath hid himself among the baggage." They ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. He was a splendid-looking man, physically, such a man as they desired. They wanted one who could fight their battles according to human wisdom and with human weapons, and Saul seemed to be the very man. So Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom Jehovah hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. There was no one so tall, so physically handsome, and so fine looking. The Lord had said that they should set over themselves as king only the one whom he should choose," Deuteronomy 17:14-17. "And he had now chosen Saul, as already stated. He could allow the people to do only as they had chosen to do." And all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." The people were pleased with having their choice and going their own way, pleased with rejecting God, and shouted over their success. Many today are pleased, delighted with human ways, human religious institutions, and shout their own praises over their apparent success. I heard of one church not long ago that installed women as bishops, and when they did so, the congregation applauded. It was their rejoicing over their rejection of God's form and God's way. Is not a great convention a bigger thing with many than the simple church of Christ? Now we're going to read about the manner of this kingdom. Now I want to read verses 25 and 26. Here we read 1 Samuel 10, 25 and 26. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before Jehovah. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went to his house, to Gibeah. And there went with him the host whose hearts God had touched. Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom. What does this mean? This is the same thing God told Samuel to show the people in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 9, and that which he did is set forth in 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 18. The kingdom would prove an oppression instead of a blessing. I'm going to go back and read that text. That is 1 Samuel, let me catch it here, 1 Samuel 8, verses 9 through 18. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit thou shalt protest solemnly unto them, and thou shalt show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of Jehovah to the people that asked him a king, and said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them unto him for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them unto him for captains of thousands and captains of fifties, and he will set some to plow the ground and to reap the harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give his officers to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, whom ye shall have chosen for yourself, and Jehovah will not answer you in that day. Some say, since Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20, God had foretold this time that Samuel was to write out the kind of compact between the king and the people, somewhat of a charter, setting forth the relationship of the king to the people and the people to the king and all of them to Jehovah. But it seems from the warnings given that this is another warning that it may be kept as a witness against them, because they went into this sin with their eyes open and against all that the Lord had said. Samuel wrote it in a book and laid it up before Jehovah. To lay it up before Jehovah was to place it by the ark where the law was, Deuteronomy 31:26. When this was done, Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. The kingdom was renewed at Gilgal, 1 Samuel 11:14, but he wanted to give the people time for reflection. And Saul went also to his house at Gibeah. There was no occasion for immediate action on the part of this king, and he needed time, too, for reflection and preparation for his new duties and responsibilities. And there went out of him the host, the men of valor, whose hearts God had touched. God moved them to accompany Saul as friends and guards who accepted him as their leader and desired to be co-workers with him in his kingdom. Personal friends who were proud of his success and position. Saul had enemies from the start as well, as we're going to see in the next verse. But certain worthless fellows said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. We're going to come into our next class and look at this opposition of these worthless fellows.